Tango Tango Papa 2098, December 28th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monster's crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon, once again from vacation. So as you can see, if you're watching the video behind me, I've got the new chair. So I'm actually sitting, I think, quite a bit, several inches higher than I was in that other chair. And this chair is extremely comfortable. It's, of course, it's the so-called bonded leather. So it's, you know, I expect that to not age well. Because bonded leather typically does not age all that well. But then again, the chair wasn't that expensive, and it obviously, I can replace it at some point in the future. But so anyway, the chair is, you know, it's padded well. It's very comfortable. The arms are padded. This is a very comfortable chair, at least for me. Now, different people might have different results. That's why one size never fits all. So. In any case, they had initially told me that I was going to be getting the chair. It would take up to 24 hours, and I think the guy was just kind of, that's what they tell him to say, just in case something would happen, and, you know, they, let's say they get really busy and he couldn't put it together. Well, as it turned out, I came back home afterwards after I'd bought the chair and was home for a while. And then all of it, not long after I recorded yesterday's podcast, the phone rang, and it was Office Depot, and it was the guy. And he said, "Hey, your chair's ready." So I made a trip up there and picked it up and, got it home and got it in the house, and like I say, I'm very happy with it. So the today they were saying, well, it could rain today, but actually I think rain's out of the forecast now, or it's very small chance. Now there's a greater chance tomorrow, so I guess they just kind of backed it up, but a day. But today is supposed to be, the high is supposed to be 66. Right now it's 68. The high, right, or the temperature right now, if I can get this spit out, is 66 and sunny. So pretty nice. Probably plan on, going to town a little bit later. And, you know, I don't know. I wasn't particularly hungry at noon. And so I just, you know, I decided I would skip that, and so I'll eat a little bit later. So lately I've been cooking things here in the house in that air fryer. And while it does work to put water in the bottom of it, it still kind of really stinks up the house to, you know, like frying chicken, for example. It really has a tendency to kind of make the house smell, and I kind of, you know, really kind of am noticing that when I come in after I've been gone for a while or what have you. And so I'm going to have to, you know, I do have that plug out on the deck, and even though putting water in the bottom of the air fryer does keep it from smoking, it's still, you know, you still end up with some fairly strong cooking odors. And so I think you know, I just need to bite the bullet. I do have that plug out on the back deck, and I think what I need to do is just use it out there if I'm going to be cooking something that's fairly substantial, you know, that requires a fairly substantial cooking time, as opposed to the, you know, something like the beef kebab meat that only took like a total of eight cooking minutes, whereas the chicken that I cooked last night actually took to get it to the 165 degrees that it needed to be. It actually took it up to I started with 10 minutes, and then another 10 minutes, and then, you know, probably 10 more minutes on top of that. So there was a total of...
Remember, trucker...
Oops, sorry about that. There was a total that caused me to lose my train of thought. Probably 30 minutes to get it up to the cooking, you know, to the 165 degrees. Now, I fixed this, and the darn thing decided it was just going to come back. That's bizarre. So what I want to do, I'm messing with the camera right now. I wanted just to reduce the brightness on this camera, jack up the sharpness a little bit. I don't know why it won't keep the settings. I want it to keep the settings. Get rid of the back. Yeah, nope. There we go. Okay, now let's up the brightness just a bit. Sorry about this. You're watching me adjust the camera, because I had it adjusted and then I ended up rebooting the computer. And I don't know why this, there may be some setting, you know, because I wanted to keep this setting. Okay, so I've got it. I made the adjustment. I'm going to force it. Now, right now, it's looking the way I want it to, pretty much. So, this is the secondary camera that I'm talking about. So, anyway, you know, you can end up kind of smelling up your house, you know, by frying a bunch of things, and, you know, the air fryer included. So, like I say, I think I just need to do it out on the back deck, since I do have that plug-in out there now, and just be done with it. The only downside with doing it on the back deck, the cord on the air fryer is actually kind of short. They do that on purpose. And actually, I never really knew this, but the reason they do that on purpose is because if you coil up a cord, and people do this all the time, you know, they'll have, if it's a longer cord, they'll just kind of leave it coiled. And if it's pulling, let's say, a large amount of electricity through a coiled cord, it sort of creates, you know, I guess there's probably some magnetic fields or something's going on where it'll actually, you know, it's dangerous because it can cause the wires to heat up. Now, I'd have to really look into that. I'm familiar with the theory of... how electronics work, or the, you know, wiring and what have you, AC wiring. I'm kind of familiar with the just rudimentary theory part of it. But there's some reason why, you know, there's electric fields that are probably surrounding each one of your cords. And so in order to keep people from burning down their house by, you know, when they're using a high-powered... home appliance, like, let's say, a toaster or an air fryer would be one, an electric skillet, probably an electric coffee pot, or another one would be an electric space heater. Anything that's approaching the 1800 watt maximum that's allowed in North America, they try to keep the cord short. Because, and then that prevents people from coiling the cords up. And so what ends up happening, because that plug out on the deck is it's probably about a foot off of the floor of the deck. It's, you know, I have to just kind of sit it down there next to the cord or next to the plug in because it's just so short. And, you know, so it would be more convenient if I could, you know, it had a little bit longer cord and I could, you know, kind of put it up on the table. So, but I'm just going to have to not cook in here with it because it, especially if it's a longer thing like chicken. By the way, I did buy I think I probably mentioned this. I bought a meat thermometer at Walmart. It was like $7. Battery included, and that is one of the best purchases I think that you can make as far as, you know, you like your little kitchen gadgets. Well, that's one of them that's really super, super useful because, you know, you don't have to guess, you know, by tasting, well, is this chicken done or whatever. You just kind of stick the thing in there in the center and you hit the button and turn it on, and it tells you either in Fahrenheit or Celsius what the temperature is. And with chicken, you want it to hit 165. Now, that's going to vary from one type of meat to the next. And so, if you know, and of course, you've got your Google's handy, so you just ask Google what temperature should be, you know, chicken be cooked to, and or, you know, and it's 165, you know, and same way with pork. You don't want rare chicken, you don't want rare pork, but you do get away, typically you can get away with rare beef, you know, like rare, medium, rare, and they'll even, you know, you can look up what temperature should medium rare beef be for meat, you know, for the optimum medium rare, and it'll tell you. So you know, that's very handy, you know. So, but, you know, that little meat thermometer, you know, the little electronic thermometer is, for $7, you can't go wrong. So, but I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm overall, even though the air fryer kind of stinks, and I've had this one for a number of years, even though it can kind of stink up the house, if you can take it outside and use it, you know, I do recommend them because they really, really, the food's good. It works good. Very happy with the results as opposed to, you know, and there are other ways of cooking, obviously, and but this is usually just super quick and convenient. So, what I want to talk about today is obviously a topic I've talked about before, and you know, I've talked about probably everything I'm ever going to talk about. I've talked about it endlessly, but it's worth talking about again, and that is so-called herd behavior. You know, you get into kind of the mass psychology, mass hysteria, and all of it sort of revolves around herd behavior. And so you see this, you know, you see the herd behavior, let's say, in all throughout nature, you know, particularly with different kinds of animals, insects, birds. I don't know if you could say that it happens in plants. I don't know about the plant world, if there's any sort of mass behavioral phenomena in plants, but certainly there is in the world of any kind of animal. And so you have these, you know, let's say, you know, take a school of fish, for example, you know, and I'm, you know, it doesn't take, you just type in school of fish into YouTube and you're going to see it's remarkable how the school of fish, they all swarm together. And of course there's safety in the swarm. Typically if they're, you know, they're circulating as they swarm, but most of the time, as they're doing that, they're in sort of in the center of the swarm. And so if there's a predator, that tends to put the predator off, or the predator is only going to get the ones on that are that happen to be unfortunate enough to be on the outside of the swarm. So, and the schools of fish can just change on a dime. You change direction. Same way with birds. Flock of birds, same difference. Same kind of dynamics at work. And so herd behavior is actually quite useful for, in the animal kingdom. You get this herd behavior going. It's very useful. Now, is it useful for human beings? And you could say, well, it could be. There's a lot of people don't want to differ too much from the crowd, too much from their peers. And I can understand that because we do end up relying on all kinds of rituals that we don't even realize that we're relying on in order to be able to function socially. So those, there's certain things that make sense, that do make sense, that we follow. And a lot of it's completely unconscious. There's a ton of it that you may think you're thinking about it, but most of the time you're not. So that's I think that's particularly true in the realm of, let's say, physical behavior. Standing in line would be, an example. Where you're standing in line, you're only going to get so close to other people, kind of without touching them. And of course, this virus thing has caused everyone to kind of back off a little bit, which, I don't think is really necessarily a bad thing. Because I don't particularly care when people sort of intrude into my space. I like to keep my space, but that's, of course, that's just me. I enjoy my space, and I don't, while I enjoy social situations, at the same time, I don't want someone just, getting right up in my face. And I think most people are probably the same way. If you're having a conversation with somebody, you want to, kind of be close enough to them where you can kind of really communicate effectively. Even from a body language standpoint, but you don't want to get so close as to, where you're just intruding into their space and vice versa. So in the realm of physical behavior, school or herd mentality, even in human beings, is actually useful. Now, where it becomes a problem, where it actually becomes a problem, is not in the realm of the physical, but, in the realm of, I'm going to use the word spiritual, and I don't mean in the, the kind of the woo-woo sense, but I mean in the sort of sense that it's non-physical. So our minds, what goes on in our minds is really, as far as thoughts go. Now, you could say, well, there's physical activity taking place in your brain, with an fMRI. But the fMRI can't determine, it can determine blood flow or whatever, but it can't determine what you're thinking, really. And it can kind of look at blood flow patterns and sort of guess at things, but that's not your thinking. Your thinking is really the information that's being processed, and so that's more of a spiritual thing. And your behavior. How do you determine what's right and wrong? That can't be determined from the physical world. It's a right and wrong or concept. Those are non-material concepts. So those you saw, I'm going to use the word spiritual. Now, the problem comes in when you are basing your behavior, your concepts of right and wrong, on what you think, or what the groupthink is. Groupthink is a herd mentality. It's a schoolish, like a school of fish. It's a sort of a mob-like behavior, groupthink. We all have to think this. We're scientists. We all have to think one way. Or we're truck drivers. We all have to think one way. And we all have to, and of course when you have different groups of people that are sort of have adopted the groupthink, then they, for whatever's appropriate for that group, then they may all dress the same way and kind of act the same way and use similar kind of body language, and they're not even aware of it, obviously, that they're doing that necessarily. So, but they're giving off all kinds of signals. Now, there's a big problem with groupthink. You can be in the group and have the groupthink, but the problem with groupthink is that you're not thinking for yourself. You're not thinking for yourself, and you end up, if you kind of embrace groupthink, groupthink is often wrong. I don't know if anybody has been able to quantify it, or even thought about it, but groupthink often is wrong. But it's easy. It's easy to fall into groupthink. And groupthink kind of goes right along with like ideological possession. You're ideologically possessed by the groupthink. So, but it is dangerous because it, if you get into a physical group of people, and they're sort of all, kind of emotional, and they become, and as I've talked about before, the more, if you have resentment, that makes you vulnerable to becoming externalized, where your identity is being formed from the outside rather than from within. Your identity is being formed from the outside, then that's actually what forces you to care about what the group thinks, what the people around you think, what your peers think. And if you get into a situation, where an actual physical mob takes place, these people all say afterwards, well, it was like I something came over me. Now, one of the things, the strategies that riot control people use in order to, kind of break a mob up is to try to isolate, grab individual members of the mob and try to isolate them. And then, once you isolate them, then they, the approval, I think what happens, the approval of the groupthink sort of immediately probably wears off. But people do get caught up in groupthink, and so it's a physical mob. But what happens, what happens in education? What happens in science? What's happened to a bunch of the people that have gotten caught up with this virus? You know, and the stuff that's the propaganda that's put out. You know, the groupthink makes you vulnerable to being caught up in propaganda. That's why one of the reasons why propaganda can be effective is because people get involved. They're already primed for it by being vulnerable to the groupthink. And so it's a very dangerous situation to be in because of, you know, you get caught up in that. And then if too many people get caught up in that, then you've got a problem. You got a real society ends up with the real problem. And I think that's obviously happened with this virus. You've got people that are, families that are, you know, these big rifts that are happening in families because, one or more of the family members has just got bought into the whole idea of the masks and the jabs. Hook, line, and sinker, and some of them, and you know, probably the majority, maybe, or half of the family, or what, you know, it's going to depend from one family to the next. But some of, you know, part of the family, at least half of them, haven't bought into it, and in fact, they're not going to do it. The more someone tries to push them into it, the less likely they are to do it. That's certainly happened with me. I've had, you know, initially, I was kind of, I'm always skeptical about vaccines, you know, especially the modern ones. Now, the polio and all that, yeah, it took them 13 years to develop that before it became publicly available. People were clamoring for it. Polio was a real problem. Same way with some of those other earlier vaccines. But then, you know, in recent years, the drug companies have needed to make their profits because they haven't been able to make profits like they wanted from developing new drugs. So they turned to vaccines as a profit source. Oh, we're going to have an annual flu vaccine. And they try to force, you know, talk everybody into taking that. And they'd always have some takers, but not as many as they wanted. And then now, you know, this virus came along a couple of years ago, and boy, they all just jumped on the bandwagon, and they're making billions of dollars from it. And there's probably some evidence that some of my listeners won't accept that there's been a lot of people that have dropped dead because of the vaccine, but they just suppressed it. You know, as fake news, that there's any kind of problem. And then they'll come back and they'll say, well, there's always problems with these things. You know, it's just a risk that you take. You know, it's a greater risk that you're going to die of the virus if you get it versus the smaller risk that you get the jabs and you're not going to suffer from the serious side effects that some people have, or die, which is a serious side effect, obviously. You know, so. But in any case, people are caught up in the groupthink. And as I say, there are families that are kind of being torn apart because some of them have bought into the idea that you got to have that, or I'm not going to let you be around me. Okay, whatever. You know, maybe go ahead. You're ideologically possessed. If someone's ideologically possessed, you just have to let it go. It's the only thing that can knock them out of the possession is, you know, whatever the ideological possession is, the only thing that can actually knock them out of it is their own realization. And typically, realization comes when tragedy strikes, or when some sort of when they're up against a wall. You know, you end up in a gutter, either literally or figuratively. Find yourself in that position, and all of a sudden, you may start thinking rationally, and so that, but. That's your own realization that caused that to happen. It's not, you know, someone talked you into it. I think that's one of the reasons why people that are ideologically possessed think that it's just a matter, oh, well, we just need to present this in the right way so that, you know, that we can talk them into it. We'll be able to talk these people into it. No, you won't. Not going to talk me into anything. I've always been skeptical about these modern vaccines for the flu every year, and then, you know, now they have this thing. I was skeptical about it, and then whenever they say, oh, it's going to be mandate bullshit, sorry for the pardon of French, but I am not doing it. And it's not because it's a Republican thing to do or a conservative thing to do. I don't, you know, I'm not watching any news. I see very few headlines. I read very few news stories. This is something that I determined I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be told that I'm going to do it. Not happening. It ain't going to happen. You know? So the only way it would happen is somebody, you know, physically came in, you know, came and restrained me and jabbed me against my will, you know, and that's about the only way that it could possibly happen. Because otherwise, I will not take it. I don't care what the fear mongering is, or how emotional, you know, the appeals are. Ain't doing it. So, but, and I really don't care, you know, if you have a friend or a family member, well, let's say a friend that drops you because of your stance with the jabs, they weren't your friend to begin with, and that's probably true even with relatives. You know, you try to be friendly with your relatives or at least stay on nice terms with them. But, you know, I can take it or leave it. You know, if I have any relatives that don't want me around because I don't have the jab, then that's their problem, not mine. Because I'm not offended by it one way or the other. But I do see them as ideologically possessed. And like I say, the only way that they're ever going to be able to, anyone that's ideologically possessed, the only thing that can actually break you out of it is self-realization. And that's not an instant process. That self-realization just is, you know, it happens, you know, kind of like a one at a time. And if you, of course, you start down the path of self-realization, and you know, I think it's an endless path. I think the path could actually end up going on forever. But and as I've said before, I think we, to a large extent, we all are ideologically possessed to varying degrees. I do believe that's true. So, anyway, we've been going along here about 34 minutes. I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. And, you know, I need to do a little bit more house cleaning, I think. So, you know, be doing something, you know, other than just kind of sitting here languishing. Although I do enjoy just kind of relaxing a certain amount, but I like to keep things in slices. Slice of this, slice of that, slice of something else, slice of a friend, slice of this friend, slice of that friend. And that way I don't overdose on any one thing. So anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.